We've almost had enough for the day. I just want to talk about the Guardians. It's just a shame. You will get to a point. You either have to protect this quarterback and make the most of this situation, or we might have to do this. I'm not ruling this out. It sounds like I'm sticking up for him. I don't think he's that great to begin with, but I can't put him in a disadvantage to start out. And they've put it 2 out of 3 weeks. They put their quarterback at a disadvantage. Now, you can go back to that and try to put him at an advantage, and then if he just isn't good enough, we have to look each other dead in the eye and go, how can I keep rolling this guy out if we're going to have veterans fight through this? Like, if Myles Garrett's getting an MRI, and he's still playing on Sunday, this coming Sunday against the Raiders, and then he's still going out there against Washington and so on and so forth, it's like, well, if we're losing these games or we're looking bad offensively, and we're doing what's necessary to protect our quarterback, to do what's best to put him in a position to win, then we need to have a serious discussion then. But I can't, like, just bench Watson. First off, you got to understand the enormity of what you're saying, and you may very well know that. That's fine. Two is that I don't believe that they have given him everything they needed to. They've given him weapons. They certainly have done that, but they have not played and given a game plan that protects him whatsoever, and he needs that. He needs it. I'm not one of these Watson people that go nuts every time and yell and get mad at anybody brings up any criticism whatsoever. I'm telling you, he can be a slightly above average quarterback. The old days are done. They're never coming back. He can be a slightly above average quarterback that you can win games with, but you need to do what you did for Joe Flacco, what you did for PJ Walker, what you try to do for Baker, what you did for all these guys. I mean, look at what happened yesterday in Denver. By the way, was that on the road or was that in Tampa with Denver?
Was in Tampa.
Okay, then he just doesn't play well against the Broncos, apparently. Okay, so he's got a good offensive line, relatively, and he's got great weapons, and they try to protect him because they know he's diminutive in size, and they know he has a strong arm, but he needs his whole body. So they protect him. Well, you got to protect this guy. The days of flying all over the place, no, he doesn't even know where to go with the ball when he's taken off. Watch him. You're not putting him in a good spot.
And yesterday he had as many on target down the field throws as we have seen in a long time. So I will say that if you're looking for good, and I do think going forward, I think he's just going to take off. I think they had some success later in the game, moving the chains with him doing that. And I think he's just going to do that because he's going to trust this line less and less. And so there will be some good in that you're seeing. He's still very athletic. He still can be very evasive, can make guys miss. He still has that in him. But we also know the flip side of that, which is his body is not going to be well-suited to take the hits.
How was he sliding in those takeoffs? Because it was not feet first.
Right.
It was still the way that got him in trouble last year and ultimately
which you're going to land on your shoulders. Yeah, guys don't understand. Quarterbacks that do this, I see it at the college game every week. And maybe college kids, a lot of them aren't going to play at the next level, so they don't care. But landing on your shoulder, never a good idea, especially when other bodies start coming in. The other thing, Myles Garrett. We just played a clip of Myles coming out of the break. I asked Daryl Ryder point blank, which MRIs are more important on the offensive line as a whole or Myles Garrett? He said the offensive linemen, understandable. They're in shambles right now. You need healthy bodies. I think it's Myles. If that MRI turns up something really nasty for Myles and he has to miss a huge stretch of games, that could be it. He is their leader. He is their leader. He's their vocal guy. We had Roddy McLeod in after week one. And I said, hey, what did Jim Schwartz say?
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't Jim Schwartz.
Yep.
He said, we heard Myles. Myles was the guy. And if all of a sudden they cannot depend on Superman on the defense to bail out not only the defense, but the offense. You know, Joe Flacco won games last year with all backup offensive linemen, basically. There were some games where there were guys I had never heard of. You somehow still knew who they were. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've never heard of these guys. They're Jaron Christian. Okay, and they won games. You can.
Yeah, I never heard of. I'm not gonna lie about that.
You can adjust on the fly to some extent. You're not gonna win the Super Bowl with that, obviously, but you can certainly make some adjustments. Quick passing game. There are things you can do, especially when Njoku comes back. Maybe Nick Chubb. If Myles Garrett is out for a slew of games, anything north of four, I'm looking at his MRI. His MRI is the biggie to me, Kenny.
I mean, It's all bad. It's all terrible. If he's gone, I don't know if anybody was going to have any excitement for any of these games. If he's gone for any period of time. And, I mean, he sounds like he's just going to try to take shots and get out there as best
both
he can.
Feet. Remember, it's both feet.
Lower legs. I mean, the whole thing.
He only played 58% of the snaps yesterday. Mm-hmm. I looked at the snap count. He was the first one to look at. 58%. So, he is laboring.
216-474 to below 92. Frank in Cleveland, you're first up in the Fan.
What's up, fellas? Hey, man, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know who to blame. I mean, the offensive line looked so bad, man. I couldn't believe that Jones looked that bad. Man, we can't run. It's hard to run out the shotgun, man. Stefanski just looked bad. He looked like he got out-coached, man. Because I'm looking at Kirk Cousins hurt, and his offensive line is protecting him. He can't even move, and he's still out there balling, man. It just, I can't watch football afterwards because when I see other teams just moving the ball, man, and we can't get it right, man. It just looks so. I just don't. I'm baffled, man. I don't know, man. This is crazy, y'all. Hey, man. I don't want to give up on the season this early. I done already canceled my Vegas trip this morning, man.
You canceled your trip to Vegas?
It's over with, man. And I'm about to calling my friend. I'm trying to get in touch with him, man. I might be canceling the Philly too. They lose. If they lose to the Vegas, I ain't going to Vegas, man.
Why would you cancel? I mean, you can still have fun in Vegas, can't you?
No, because I'm a gambler, so I'll probably be broke by Sunday.
My bad.
And then I'll really be ready to get back on the plane. Man, it's hard to be a Browns fan, man.
Frank, because hearing from Frank, thank you very much for the call,
Frank. You can't cancel the Vegas trip. There's other things to do in Vegas.
If he says all he's going to do is gamble, then what the hell is he going to do? Wayne Newton's coming here. He's not going to Wayne Newton.
How's Frank going to take a Browns vacation on vacation?
Yes.
You can't do it.
You can't do that.
I mean, it is all Cleveland going to that game. My buddies are down, but they are going to Vegas. They are getting out of the house. They are getting away from their wives, and they are going to enjoy Vegas.
They're going to boo them, and no one's going to know what's going on. God, it's all bad. There's nobody that's without blame here. There is zero without blame. Even Ken, you picked them to beat the Giants. Hell yeah, I picked them to beat the Giants. I didn't take the Giants lightly. I preached about it on the pregame show with Jonathan. But in the end, who cares? Because I'm just a fat ass on the air being a clown for people. That's all I am. That's really all I am. That's really all it is. So I can tell you whatever I want, but it doesn't really matter because I have no control over anything. None over any of it. They do. And if they took them lightly, then we had a serious, serious problem. These are professionals. And now you're 1-2. When you could have been, man, 2-1, right there in the thick of everything. Now it's 1-2. And we're back to where we started from week one with Dallas. The whole thing sucks. It's a bad thing to deal with. I don't know where we're going with this football team. I don't know who's going to be able to even play. I got to get that figured out. I mean, I could go on forever with it. Dietrich and Willowick, hello. Hello, Dietrich.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi.
Hey, the main problem is, and this is the whole thing with Stefanski since he's been here, he does not like to run the ball.
He hasn't liked to run the ball.
He does not like to run the ball. Even when we had Chubb and Hunt, they had, 18 carries for the whole game? 2 weeks ago, the guy from San Francisco, a backup, had 28 carries and almost 200 yards. The guy from Kansas City last night, a backup, had 17 carries.
Okay.
They had two rushing attempts in the first quarter, 5 in the first half.
Well, if you remember, I don't know how long you've listened, Dietrich. I vaguely remember, what was it, 2022, I want to say, Anthony, where I would say, you know, they're going to win their way. If they can't win, like I said, if Paul Brown came down and said, you have to run Nick Chubb 30 times to win this football game, I think they'd try to find a different way to do it. They were going to win the game their way, and they were going to go through their process.
Okay, let me explain, though, why he needs to run the ball more, because they were sitting in a wide nine.
Uh-huh.
For the people that don't know what a wide nine is, that's the two D ends. They go as wide as they can, and one is on the outside shoulder.
Wait a minute. Is this nitty-gritty?
Hold on. We have
hold
music
on, Dietrich.
For this.
Yeah, hold on.
Nitty-gritty football.
Yeah, play the
it's
music.
It's time for nitty-gritty football.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
All right, Dietrich, now go ahead.
Back to the wide nine.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, but the one sits on the outside shoulder of the tight end, and the one sits on the outside shoulder of the tackle. Okay. They're supposed to get wide as they can, and that prevents the quarterback from rolling out or any sweeps, tosses, pitches to get outside. And then, they was blitzing like they were, but to beat that, the way to beat that is to run right at them, because you got the tackle and the guard. You run right in between those guys. You send somebody in motion, or do old school and put a fullback back there so they can take on the linebacker that's blitzing in that gap.
Yeah, but you got to go under
center. Gaps are wide open.
You got to go under center, though. They don't like going under. He doesn't like going under center.
And that's the problem. He don't want to run the ball.
And when the violin hits, it's just perfect.
Oh, so gritty.
That's the problem. He doesn't want to run the ball.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
If you look at Pittsburgh, he's not beating them passing the ball. They're running and running, and just to stay in the game.
I've been on plenty of
sorry teams where I needed to run the ball just so we can stay in the game. If you keep passing and passing, knowing you can't pass, that's when you get blown out.
That's a little too gritty.
Dietrich, thank you very much for the call. I'm not ripping you. That was I forgot Joe said all those things. It's been so long since we did Nitty Gritty Football Talk.
Foreman had two carries yesterday. They can't run the ball.
He had one early in the game. I thought he ran it well, and then they just... Oh, no.
They tried to do that bleep they did in week one. And by the way, he ain't wrong about the Pittsburgh Steelers. What I tell you at the beginning of the season, when they got Arthur Smith, everybody laughed and laughed. I go, they're going to run the football. Ran it 31 times yesterday, and they're 3-0. Najee Harris wasn't even good. They're going to run that ball. They're going to run it. They are going to commit to it, and they're going to do it, whether you like it or not. Sure as hell. Justin Fields was fine. God, it is a pox on me, that football team. You see that one Mayfield councilman got it on my mentions again?
Not again.
Again.
No.
I'm like, how do people vote for this guy? What are you doing?
That's a Steeler fan?
Yeah.
In
Everything's
Mayfield.
Pittsburgh
in
makes
Mayfield,
fun of me.
Mayfield, Ohio.
In Mayfield, Ohio, of all things. And I'm going, what are you doing? Nah, doesn't care. Coming right after us. There's a flag. No, guys, there's a flag. You still going? You're still dancing? There's a flag. Guys, there's a flag. Greg, get back. You hit Daniel Jones. They can't hear me now.
Kenny and I just watched Michael Flatley and his 100 dancers in Lord of the Dance.
You have to go back and watch Michael Flatley. He looked like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah right there, just leading them all in the dance.
I think JOK's hips had a little more movement, a little more rhythm.
Mitch did the time. It was 20 seconds.
They danced for 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
For a play that didn't count.
But they could have danced all night.
Well, if you watch the actual Lord of the Dance, there are 25 encores, and he's got the 100 women that all look like Nicole Kidman.
Yep.
And he is making love to them on the stage.
Yes, he is.
While they are tap dancing and doing the Irish dancing. It's amazing.
Unbelievable. Outstanding stuff. Just great. 20s and Mitch count 19.81. Now, this is from when to when. What is this again?
So this is from when Hickman and the Browns first start sprinting to the end zone. To the end when Hickman spikes the ball and the team disperses.
20 seconds. All right, good. Very, very good.
Hey, you can't say their attention to detail wasn't there in the week. Listen, what you see on Sundays is a culmination of everything you've done throughout the week. They nailed that freaking dance. They were on it. They put all their heads together to make sure that's coaching staff, that's players. I mean, that's everybody. That's your trainers, your position coaches. They're going to dance.
This is good.
And that stadium came alive when they danced.
Oh,
You can't tell me they didn't get their money's worth on that dance.
I mean, they're running to the end zone. He's gathering them all up. They're going to Carl Chafer's. They're behind him talking about it. What? Tell him the offensive line walking on going, uh-oh, wait a minute. See, there's something new you find on this video every single time.
I mean, they were
Wyatt
synchronized.
Wyatt is walking on the field and just staring at them as he's walking.
What do you think Wyatt and Joel Bitonio think watching that?
The Sean's in the background like, guys, I don't know if this is going to stick. I don't know if this is going to stay, guys. I got to laugh about it, man. That's good stuff. Keep doing it.
Yeah, do you want
Dalvin Tomlinson looks great.
Well, you know, there are going to be some fans that never want to see them celebrate or dance again.
No, do it. Celebrate.
But we know the rules.
I want them to.
Jim Schwartz told us what the rules were in his defense.
You do not want to get a loaf.
No.
Yeah.
You could get a loaf.
I can't believe we lost to this terrible, suck-ass quarterback. I cannot believe we lost to this team. I really can't. I cannot believe you went out there and lost to him. Like Brad Ward, my buddy. He tweets at us, Twitter Actions brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers. He disagrees. He goes, nah, this is not. He says, declaring that this is who the Browns team is, is an overreaction. They have 14 games left. They will be better. Teams lose to teams they shouldn't every week in this league. They have a lot to fix, but I expect them to bounce back and win this week. They need to be playing good football in late October and December. I don't think we should be bailing already. This isn't bailing. I'll be here every week. I'm not bailing. I just totally disagree with that. This is who they are. Forget the dancing. I'm having fun with dancing. I don't care. When things are good, dance like crazy.
Greg Newsom was the second best dancer in this clip, but Jordan Hicks comes out of nowhere.
Oh, no, now you're grading the dance.
And Jordan Hicks, man, he flashed.
I'm
in
over
a big
here
way.
Trying to make salient points.
We don't grade dances. We power rank.
All right, power rank the dancers.
JOK's one. I kind of think maybe Jordan Hicks is two and Greg Newsom is three.
Should we have Rodney McLeod do this tomorrow, or is he going to punch me in the mouth?
Mitch, you can ask him that question. Now,
Greg's very good at it.
The guy with the 4K camera comes in. You know when you get the
Steadicam.
The Steadicam, but you can only get the 4K with that one because everything else is out of focus.
Right.
The way they have it optimized. And he knows. He's got the director in his head. Director in his head is saying, hey, we got to cut to camera four.
That's good.
Because there's a flag. But that guy wasn't going to ruin the celebration shot.
I got my power ranking. Go ahead when you're ready. I got my power ranking. Number one, JOK. Very closely, number two, Dalvin Tomlinson. Number three, probably Jordan Hicks. Yeah, Jordan Hicks, number three.
Okay, but is it Cameron Mitchell who swats the ball at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, he hammers that ball.
Yes, he does. Looking good, guys.
Would have flagged that for excessive celebration? And by definition, celebrating a play that didn't count is excessive. So can you imagine if there was the double whammy?
I wish it would have counted.
But if the play doesn't count, then you're not celebrating. What came first? The excessive celebration or the penalty flag?
It is so good. Anywho.
Dalvin
Tomlinson. I told you, he looks good, man. They're dancing their asses off. Oh, my God. What was I going to say? I was trying to make a salient point over here, and I couldn't do it.
You're going
to
get to Martin Emerson.
No.
Very sneakily makes his presence felt.
It wasn't that. No. Okay. The point I was going to make, I disagree with Brad, and I like Brad. Good guy. I disagree with him. This is who they are. If they're going to keep going back, it's a philosophical problem I have. You found something that worked relatively decently in week two. You went back to the drawing board of what it was week one. If you're going to just sit here and force things, we're going to keep doing this. You'll win some games. You'll win some games. I think they're a middling team right now. God, I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. Here you have a radio show host in Cleveland who wants myself to be wrong. I want myself to be wrong. But this is who you are now. It's going to be a sub-500 football team that they gave you every opportunity and you couldn't get out of your own way. It's been 3 weeks. How long is this preseason going to go? If we're going to continue to go back to the other offense and finding other offenses, then we're just going to keep getting in our way. Someone has to make the decision. So, yeah, they can be better. I don't know. I got three guys who are getting MRIs this morning on my offensive line. That's kind of something that sticks out.
That's like unheard of.
So saying we're just going to bounce back, I don't know. I really don't know. And they should be able to beat. I don't know what he's yelling about in there. They should be able to beat the Raiders, just like they should be able to beat Washington. But when you lose to the Giants, who are a terrible team, that have a bad quarterback, that have severe dysfunction at the top, they do, then everything's on the table for you now. Everything's on the table. So I could try to explain it away and go, well, the teams lose every week. Yeah, I know that. But a lot of those teams we don't take seriously as playoff teams, and I don't take this team seriously as a playoff team whatsoever. You better not have them in your seven in heaven tomorrow.
They got to win the next two. I mean, they got to win a lot of games. They got to win the next two.
Yeah. Do you have faith that they will do that?
I mean, the Raiders game, they absolutely should win. They should.
These are road games. These are all road games. Now, they played well on the road last week, but are they out of the woods playing badly on the road?
Yeah, is the script going to be flipped from last year where they struggle at home?
I hope that Gardner Minshew's already turned into a pumpkin.
They're going to be booing Watson every home game. We know that.
What am I going to do with my offensive line? Well, now they've graduated from booing. Now they have chance. See, I thought about boos. I never once considered they chant for the backup quarterback. That never passed my lips. That was a new one. I should have seen that one coming. 216-474-0092. By the way, Nick Wilson and Spencer German, they cover everything Ohio State. Do you like that game the other day? A little too close for your comfort? I thought it was fine.
Yeah,
people were being critical about it.
The schedule sucks.
Yeah, okay, well, listen to the Sons of the Shoe podcast.
We'll find out more about the sucky schedule on the Sons of the Shoe.
Listen to the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app, 92.3thefan.com, or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you have fresh episodes each week during the college football season. Jim in Concord, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
Hey, everybody that knows me knows I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. I didn't like Manziel. I don't like Watson, but not because of football, you know, the other reason. But anyways, I wouldn't be supporting him. But what I saw in those last couple series is a guy that's going to turn the corner. That's my opinion.
You think he's going to turn the corner?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got that. Got that look like he's tired of this baloney. And he's got that personality. I mean, he's no Jameis Winston, you know, that can stay, you know, in that situation. He's going to rise. And even though I don't like him, I see that. Plus the rest of the team, they'll rally around him. I think they're going to win a close one in Vegas. And then, you know, they're not a 4 or 5 win team. They're going to be in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think the kid's going to be all right. And I saw something there in that fourth quarter, so hope I'm right.
I'm glad you did, because I really didn't. Thank you very much for the call, Jim. I didn't, because I didn't. He needs to be protected. They're not protecting him. And I've said that over and over and over again. And I said that last week, getting ready for the Jacksonville game, or I should say the week before the Jacksonville game. They protected him. He was a better, more efficient, capable quarterback. It wasn't the greatest game ever played by a Browns quarterback. No, it wasn't. But he was an efficient quarterback, an effective one. And then they went right back to non-protection. I'm not even talking about the injuries. I mean, just some of the sets. Again, you're going 5 wide. You're emptying out the backfield. You got one running back there at times. You're just not doing what's necessary to do. And maybe he doesn't want to do it. I don't know. Maybe it's just that they're come hell or high water. They're going to work with Ken Dorsey, and they're going to put in Ken Dorsey's offense, and Kevin just has to be the one deciding which of those plays he's got to call. I have no idea. But all I know is, I'm telling you, you guys keep not protecting him. He ain't going to make it through the season. He ain't going to make it. He was getting pounded yesterday. Pounded. So if I can't protect the guy, then I can't. Because, Lima, you said it, and I didn't even disagree with you guys. Again, this day is not about a referendum on Deshaun Watson. You guys can chant whatever you want to in a stadium. I'm not there yet. It's not about that. It's about trying to being realistic and putting him in a position to win. Because there are times, Anthony, and you're right, there are times where the old quarterback does show up in certain throws and certain plays. It's there. There are things that are there. But you can't have people breathing down his neck all the time. Because he's going to get through a game, and as he goes through the game, and we saw this yesterday in the third quarter, He starts pulling the ball down. His eyes get lower because now he's looking directly in front of him because he's looking to bail out. And then when he does have anybody open, he's getting too excited. He's throwing the ball high. He's getting too excited. If you're throwing the ball low and you're missing low, you either don't have confidence in yourself or you don't have the confidence in the person you're throwing to. If you're throwing the ball too high, I think he's getting excited. He sees somebody open.
Well, the one that I will remember from that game, the Elijah Moore. He had Elijah Moore streaking down the field, would have been a touchdown. And if he hits that, you know, I think we win the game. Unfortunately, he wasn't even close.
216-474-0092. Rich in Ashtabula. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm just now able. My heart is finally beating again. I don't think this team wants Watson on the team. The offensive line, all of a sudden, you get a ton of offensive injuries all of a sudden. I don't think they want him there.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I mean, they're getting limping off the field. They don't want to play with Deshaun Watson.
Eight sacks? I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah, but they're not doing it on purpose. They still have pride in their own. Like, even if I was an offensive lineman and I didn't like – Rich, thank you for the call. If I didn't like the guy I was blocking for, I'm not going to get any mud on my name. How many quarterbacks did Joe Thomas like? Like two? I mean, in all honesty.
That he actually knew?
Well, there was one he really doesn't like. Right. But Joe's such a nice guy that he's not going to be so outward with it. But there was definitely one that he really didn't like. There's a few that he didn't even know. He wasn't going to get any mud on his name and not go block for the guy. That's not going to make anything better. No. They're professionals. They do have egos. They want to play. Those guys want to play. I don't believe that at all. 216-474-0092. All right, we got a couple more things, and we have Mitch Please coming up. I hope that my buddy Brad's right. I hope that you guys are right. I think that if they do not make the changes philosophically that they need to change and aren't willing to see the truth, this is not going to be the type of season any of us thought it was going to be. Mitch, please.
Well, Ken, one team that will not be participating for the postseason is the Chicago White Sox, who tied the Major League record yesterday with their 120th loss of the season in a 4-2 defeat to the San Diego Padres, tying the 1962 expansion New York Mets for the modern era record. And here's Ozzie Guillen on the Sox postgame show giving his thoughts on how the season's going to end up for his former club.
There's a lot of questions in the air, like why, how that happened. Even you try to do that, I don't think you can do it. With the Mets, that was a expansion team. This organization will be there for a long, long time. From the beginning, nothing clicked for the White Sox. They lose so many different ways. The only thing that goes through my mind is just like stay positive, learn from this fiasco. It just, we have what, six games more left.
Six more games.
That's going to be, and I think they will break that record. They will shadow that record. And something is going to be there for a little while. We're going to live with that for a little while.
Maybe you've gotten to this point. If you're a White Sox fan, you've gotten to this point. You have sat through all of this.
Yeah, why not sit through more?
You go for glory.
Yeah, Come on. You do that. I got to tell you, I think the Tigers are on their way back. This has been a nice finish to the season for them. I think they're going to be a problem coming up soon.
Tigers are in the playoffs as of today.
Yeah, they would play the Astros, and you would play right now if it ended with the seeds of where the teams are at right now.
Yeah.
We'd get the winner of those two
teams. Yeah, I think they're going to be problems. They're going to be problems in the future. I do not like saying that, but I think that's going to be the case. 216-474-0092. God, am I down. God, am I down. Howard in North Royalton. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to catch up with you. Usually I tune in around 9 o'clock, right, after I take care of my emails and stuff. So I'm usually behind. So pardon me if I go over some stuff that you already go over. First of all, I don't know if you went over it, but every time we have these setbacks throughout the many seasons, and I got two more points to make, the clock's ticking, right? The clock's ticking. We're looking at Ward. How much does he have left? We're looking at Garrett. How much does he have left? The O-line, well, it is what it is. How much do they have left, if anything? So the clock's ticking. So even though we have a depth, you know, on paper, that is, and again, I reiterate, it's on paper, we do a great job on paper, but we're not playing on paper, right? So the clock's ticking on all these guys. So if it's not going to be draft picks, which we just gave up, right, a ton in the last couple of years, where's the history? Where's the future, if you say? The second thing, I know you guys beat the hell out of this, and I'm glad you did, this dancing stuff. All right, I was able to play some D1 ball, basketball, and stuff like that. And a lot of times,
congratulations on all your success.
Well, well, I didn't go pro, so not much success there. I got free college. But anyway, my point being is you'd be up 20 and someone would do an amazing dunk or an amazing play and they start talking garbage. We just point up at the clock, look at the clock, look at the scoreboard, right? These guys with the dancing is ridiculous. You're down, you're getting your butts kicked, and you're going to dance, and then Ward with his clock, winding up the clock, is total BS. It's ridiculous. Stefanski needs to sit down with these guys and say, cut the shit.
And Howard, thank you very much for the call. It's been encouraged. Honestly, if they're going to not
get a loaf if you don't do it,
it's different for me. I mean, it's hilarious. It is hilarious that they dance and there's a flag laying behind them and the refs are meeting and they're still dancing and the offensive line's like, hey guys, Mike has to still play D, and they're still dancing. It's hilarious to me. Part of that, like if they were the Ohio State Buckeyes, maybe you'd have a little, well, no, because they get paid now too. If it were St. Ed's, maybe you'd have a problem with that. Maybe I could say I have a problem with that. I can't. It's part of the entertainment. It's part of the show. If the play would have stood, it would have been amazing. If they would have won the game, it would have been amazing. It's just, it adds insult. Like, if you're going to do that, you better win because people are going to be upset. But in all honesty, I'm just giving you my honest opinion. It's like, man, I got so many other problems I got to worry about. This just looks silly as hell. It looks terrible, but it's like, I got so many other things I have to fix. How the hell did we never think about bracketing Malik Nabers? How was it just MJ on him the entire day? Maybe he's just that good. Maybe he is just that legendary of a wide receiver. How did that happen? Because I'll tell you what, when Daniel Jones, he makes quarterbacks look good. When Daniel Jones tried to throw to anybody else, it didn't go too terribly well.
We talked about adjustments. Where were they on the offensive side of the ball? On defense, that Nabers thing is going to be a question all week because we had, you know, Nathan Zegura at the end of last week. He mentioned, I mean, look at the targets, 18 of them. There were 18 targets the week before against Washington. And so we knew who was going to get the football in this game for the Giants to have any chance whatsoever. And it just so happens, you know, they like to line him up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, they lined him that jet sweep play. They put him all over the place. That's the versatility of having a real number one stud wide receiver like that who can go up and get the ball. I mean, the play he made over Emerson was mm-hmm. insane. And didn't seem like they made that adjustment defensively.
No. 216-474-0092. Dave in East Cleveland, go ahead.
Fellas, they can't make adjustments because the main problem with this organization is they have no feel. When you run by computers, you don't know how sports. I was around Paul DePodesta for a few years. He has no feel for sports. It's all about the spreadsheet. When you script plays for the first drive, that looks good. When you have to make adjustments, they can't do it. If the computer doesn't tell them, they don't know what to do. That is a problem in the draft. It's a problem on the field every Sunday we see with this coaching staff.
Oh, wait, you're telling me they have all these coaches, okay? They're making a lot of money that are either on the sidelines or up in the booth. They aren't adjusting. They're not capable of adjusting to any. They've been in other organizations. They've been other places.
They're capable, Anthony, but if your organization is driven by analytics, they're not going to let you. It's the same thing in baseball, right? They say guys are sitting on the bench as managers, quote unquote. It's the same thing here, apparently. They're not making adjustments because the card tells them they can't. They have to. You can clearly see they have no feel when it comes to draft night. They have no feel in building a roster. It's in front of you on that printout.
Dave,
you can't win that way nowadays over a course of a season.
Dave, thank you very much.
By the way,
call.
Of the six draft picks they had this season going into this year, mm-hmm. only one of those guys was suited up yesterday to play for the football team.
Good God, just one?
Yeah.
All right.